And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Fox Sports On The Road. I'm your host, Michael Cohen, as we get you ready for the big game down in Phoenix between Kansas City and Philadelphia, a game that it's going to, of course, have a lot of legacy. Two teams that have a lot of deep connections between one another, obviously with head coaches in Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni, the Kelce brothers. We'll get into all that in a few minutes. Also, we are going to have a special guest, Kayleen Collar. She is a senior writer with The Athletic, and she is down there in Phoenix, and she is covering the game for The Athletic. We'll get her on for a few minutes and let her talk about the big matchup. And also, before we go into, before we close out the show, we're going to talk about a couple of Jersey guys, Isaiah Pacheco, as well as Michael Burton. Those two Rutgers guys are in the big game playing for Kansas City, and we will play some of their thoughts that they shared during Media Day. We're going to talk about it right now. Kayleen Collar joins us. She is from The Athletic. She is a senior writer. Kayleen, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. So, Kayleen, before we get going about this big matchup, just tell me more about the experience down there in Phoenix. What has it been like? It's been crazy. What's it been like down there for you?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I have lost my voice, as you can tell, because there's been a lot of interviewing, a lot of socializing, networking. Today is a really big day on Radio Row. This is kind of the day when the best guests are around. So the current players, recently retired players will be walking around Radio Row and hitting up all the different platforms. So that's been really fun to just see that energy. It's kind of chaotic, but it's very great. And then this morning I was at the Kansas City availability, which was at 8 a.m. So they're very early in the day. The Philadelphia, when they have their availability later in the afternoon around 4 o'clock. So I was there earlier this morning interviewing some of the Kansas City players and coaches. That was really interesting. And the availability is awesome. They have the assistant coaches just sitting there. And that, if you cover the NFL, that's pretty rare. You get assistant coaches maybe once every couple weeks, every month or so. And at this game, they're available, you know, wherever, like 3 days in a row, which is really cool. You can go up and talk to an offensive quality control coach who would never be available during the season.
It's a totally different atmosphere. I'm sure it must be weird for those guys where they have to like say, oh, wow, I have to talk to the media this week.
Yeah, you can tell some of them are like a little bit, you know, starry-eyed, that's not the word, but a little bit overwhelmed or like, whoa, what's going on? Just not used to that for sure.
Absolutely. Now, going into this week, the storylines are incredible. Of course, obviously, everyone's calling it either the Andy Reid Bowl, the Kelce Bowl. From the standpoint of the two Kelce brothers, I mean, those two guys, their personalities are incredible. I mean, they have the New Heights podcast. What has it been like following those two around this week, and how have they kind of grabbed this moment by the horns and kind of run with it?
Yeah, I just did a story today on their podcast. Actually, the episode on Tuesday night on Radio Row, which was really interesting because in a normal, like if they didn't have their own podcast, they would not be seeing each other until probably Friday night of this week when they would have a little bit of time to relax, maybe get dinner with their parents and their families. But because they have their own podcast together, they were able to take some time on Tuesday night, meet up at Radio Row, which is kind of a central location. The two teams are staying and different sides of Phoenix. So they are pretty far apart in terms of their geographical locations, but they were able to meet up in the central location, Radio Row, on Tuesday night to record. And their podcast has actually been hugely popular this year. And it's just kind of an incredible twist of fate that the year that they started a podcast together is also the year that they end up in this together.
What do you think that podcast is going to sound like in one, not next week?
I know. I asked them, I was like, are you, I asked their production team, I was like, are they really going to do an episode next week? Because one of them is going to be the loser and one of them is going to be forced to relive what might be a very painful game.
Yeah.
And they said, yep, they're committed to it. They say they're going to do it next week. So we can expect what will be, I think, a very interesting episode from them next week.
That would be phenomenal to listen to. It really will be.
Yeah.
Andy Reid going up against his old team, and we can go up and down the list of former coaches, executives that have been between Kansas City and Philadelphia, like Carl Pierce and Dick Vermeil, even Nick Sirianni himself, you know, starting in Kansas City. Is this, in just hearing Andy Reid this week, is this surreal to him to kind of go up against his old team in this kind of spot?
I think it is, but he's also very understated. I mean, I actually don't really know what he said about that this week. I haven't paid attention to that. So I don't actually know what he said, but he's not really one to spend much time dwelling on anything, at least not publicly. He's very understated, low key, you know, not the type of coach that really goes into depth on any type of answer, really. So I don't know exactly how he's viewing this. I think he just views it as enough. Honestly, I don't even think he really is putting much stock into that in the way that we are with, you know, looking for narratives about this game.
As far as the matchup is concerned, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, two of the top quarterbacks in this in the sport. Mahomes' chance to be MVP this year, that could happen this weekend with the vote. What does this game, I mean, what would a win do for his legacy? Obviously, Tom Brady is up here with, you know, seven championships. What would this mean for Mahomes if he can get a second ring in now in the last 4 years?
And I think it would sort of really tell us that this is a Kansas City dynasty. I mean, I think we already know that. I don't think they necessarily need to win to recognize that this is a dynasty. They've had five straight championship games. I think that tells you enough. Just being in that game five times, I think personally qualifies as like entering the dynasty realm. I mean, if they win another one, that would definitely place them into, okay, we can now talk about this being a dynasty because it would be a second championship.
Absolutely. Both of these teams, they come in as they take a look. Let me just pull up the injury report update here. Last I checked, it was pretty clean, except for a couple of players like Lane Johnson. Both teams come in pretty healthy. Obviously, Mahomes' leg was the big story coming out of the championship games. But I heard the other day that seems like he's doing well in practice. And I haven't heard anything beyond Lane crazy for Philadelphia. Have you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I will say Jalen was still kind of hurt throughout these playoffs. We didn't really notice it in his play, but he had not been attempting very long passes in practice that week. So I would say, I mean, I don't know that he would characterize himself being 100%, and neither would Patrick. But I think that the way that their injuries are, I think they're manageable. And I think it's probably not going to be to the degree where we notice it in this game.
Mm-hmm. Which team do you feel, whether it be in speaking to players, I mean, from what you've been able to gauge from players, which team do you feel is the most loose going into this week?
I don't know that either of them have seemed very loose. I'm not sure. They haven't seemed like uptight. They just have both seemed pretty normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I really have an interesting answer to that because I think they've both been just kind of business as usual. So I guess with that, I guess they would both be loose then. I don't know. They haven't seemed very stressed.
Nick Sirianni has really kind of developed that Philadelphia personality. When he first got the job, it wasn't really a popular choice. But he's done a great job with that as head coach so far. And that team was really a symbol of himself. Just talk about from what you've seen from him as a coach and how he has changed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think his career arc is really interesting because obviously he's only in his second season as a head coach. So he's had a lot of success for that. But I think what's interesting to point out is that last year, well, first of all, when he first took the job in Philadelphia, when they hired him, nobody thought that was a good hire. I mean, I haven't actually looked, but I think it'd be hard to find someone who wrote or tweeted or said something at the time that, like, this is a great hire. I think most people were a little bit confused. And, you know, his first press conference did not go well. And he's admitted that publicly. It did not play well with the media. It did not get written up very well. And then after that, he made a really smart choice to give up play calling midway through last season. I think it was around the bye week. He let the offensive coordinator Shane Steichen take over play calling. And that was a hugely important decision. A lot of coaches won't do that. A lot of coaches struggle to do that, especially the ones that have made their career on offense and calling plays, which Sirianni was one of those. So by doing that, he was able to take a step back and oversee this entire team. And obviously now we see Shane Steichen is a great play caller. So it was a really good decision by him. Would not be where they are right now if he had not made that decision.
Absolutely. I mean, they have really, I mean, even Jalen Hurts has taken off this year as well when he was healthy. The Philadelphia may be considered one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league right now. That's how well Howie Roseman has built this team over the last several years. I saw a big story about just his ascension with Philadelphia and how he's been able to craft this roster. If you could just touch on Howie Roseman and what he's been able to do with Philadelphia.
Yeah, Howie is really interesting because his reputation is pretty much like he wants to win every trade, and that can rub people the wrong way who are trading with him, obviously, because he's very aggressive and particular in what he wants and what he needs out of a trade. But it's working for him, obviously. And I think his best decision was recognizing that Carson Wentz was injured all the time and was not going to be what they thought he would be. And when he realized that before most people did, and he drafted Jalen Hurts. And at the time, he was relentlessly mocked because he said he wanted the Eagles to be a quarterback factory, which didn't play well. But honestly, I think it is a really good team building strategy, because even if you don't end up needing the quarterback, you can trade them for value. We've seen New England do that. New England does that a lot. So I think it's a very good strategy when team building, because it allows you to collect value, and it also allows you to have options at the most important position. And obviously Jalen has reached a ceiling that, I mean, I don't know if this is his ceiling, but he has improved to a degree that, you know, you had to project that for him. He wasn't that. It was really good scouting. It was really good vision. And it was really good making a decision that might be controversial at the time, but having the forward vision to know that the current quarterback was not a sure thing.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at this matchup, who in your mind has the edge?
I think I picked Philadelphia, but I'm not confident in it, because the competition that they faced this year, in my opinion, was inferior to what Kansas City played. I don't think Philadelphia played anyone as good as those two teams, aside from the week 16 Dallas. The rest of the teams they beat were honestly like fine. I mean, they were not in the elite level of NFL talent, in my opinion. So I really wanted to see how they would do. And I don't think we really got to see that. So I'm not super confident. I just feel like I haven't seen them against like a very superior, like a really good team.
I thought the championship game with San Francisco was going to be phenomenal. I thought it was going to be a defensive slugfest. And it was starting out that way, and then, you know, Purdy gets hurt. So that just changed everything.
Right.
Kansas City, you know, coming out of, you know, going with Buffalo and Cincinnati, it's really tough. It was going to be tough all year. And there was really no guarantee that they're even going to get the top seed, because that goes all the way, ties all the way back to that, to the DeMar Hamlin game, for that matter, as well. But I think head to head, it could be very, very even. I think the key for Kansas City is trying to not turn the ball over. That was their big issue. Really, in their last two stops in this game, they had a lot of issues against San Francisco, trying to move the football early in the first half. Then they figured out in the second half. And then against Tampa Bay, they just couldn't get anything going. So I think trying to avoid the turnovers, trying to keep Patrick Mahomes upright, that's going to be the big key for them against a good Philadelphia pass rush.
Mm-hmm. I think you're correct in that, for sure.
I guess let's go right at it. If you can make a pick right now, how would you see this game playing out?
I think it's Philadelphia by a narrow margin, like 3 points field goal.
It's Philadelphia by just 3 points.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll go to the opposite. I'll go and say Kansas City can find a way to get this job done, get the job done. I'll say Philly by three. Get a Harrison Bucker field goal. There you go.
Yeah.
So again, we're with Kaylin Collar of The Athletic. She's a senior writer at The Athletic. So Kaylin, just quickly, just tell us a little more about yourself as your work with The Athletic.
So I'm a senior writer at The Athletic. I joined the company in September. I was at Defector before that, which is an awesome subscriber-based, worker-owned company. If you don't subscribe to Defector or The Athletic, you should definitely subscribe to both. Before that, I was at Sports Illustrated for 5 years, and that's where I started my career. Went to Northwestern and then went to Sports Illustrated right after that. Worked with Peter King, which is really awesome. He was such a great mentor, taught me a lot.
Absolutely. That's a terrific stepping stone. You start off with him in Sports Illustrated. Were there any teams that you covered specifically early on? Or
no, actually, I've always covered the league nationally. I've not been a beat writer I thought about it, but the type of storytelling that I do, I really like just doing the things I want to do and what interests me. And I think I'm better suited to sort of just picking my spot nationally. Like, it's nice to be able to focus on big topics.
Kayleen, I really appreciate this. This was an awesome few minutes to speak with you about the state of football, as well as the big game coming up.
Thanks so much.
Kayleen, thank you. We'll talk to you hopefully down the road sometime.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Again, we want to thank Kayleen Kohler for joining us. She is a senior writer at The Athletic covering professional football. Now, let's talk about two guys that play for Kansas City that have a New Jersey connection, Isaiah Pacheco as well as Michael Burton. Those two guys playing for Kansas City, and for Pacheco, he was a seventh-round pick this year in the draft. Seventh-round pick. Not expected to be a starter. Injury to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Pacheco comes in and becomes the Kansas City's top leading rusher, over 800 yards rushing this year, and has been a dynamic playmaker both coming out of the backfield as a runner and as a receiver. And he's become a huge weapon for Patrick Mahomes, as he now he is another Rutgers player who is having an impact on a team in professional football. Michael Burton is a fullback. He was a fifth-round pick by Detroit a few years back. So these two guys who... Burton was a Rutgers guy from 2011 to 2014. Pacheco just graduated just this past year. Two guys who are really two different eras of Rutgers football, but both recruited and brought in and coached by Greg Schiano. They had some thoughts, and even Andy Reid had some thoughts, so let's play some of those thoughts for you right now. And all the audio provided here with the quotes from Pacheco, Andy Reid, as well as Michael Burton are all provided by Rutgers, and that is the Rutgers Athletic Department, their football department, and Jimmy Gill.
I'm feeling very blessed to be here and thankful. I'm just ready to get out there to practice tomorrow and put the foot on the pedal and, you know, just keep working. Seven-round pick for me, you know, just blessed to have an opportunity. When I got the opportunity, it was what do I do now that I have the opportunity? And that was just work. I love competing. And like my dad says, just keep working hard, son. Be the leader you are. And it will show. And that's exactly what I had done. And continuously just picking one thing to learn from the older guys when it comes to the routine, taking care of their body. For me, I'm a running back. I get hit a lot. So I got to take care of my body. And asking Pat and asking Trav, the guys that have been playing game or, you know the ins and outs of this game of how to be successful. You know, I pick those guys' brains, so I have a great way of feel to help me to be successful in this game.
What did playing football at Rutgers do for you?
Playing for Coach Yano and Coach Aug as the running back coach, you know, it all played in a role in how I'm carrying my business now. Like I said before, you know, eliminating the distractions, that's something that I brought from Rutgers. And, you know, being able to chopping on the task, you know, eliminating those distractions helped me form the mindset and the mental toughness that I have today. And for me, just continuously allowing the game to come to me and listening to those older guys in the room that I could pick something to get better off of at my game, or even if it's something off the field that I feel as though will help me be successful at taking care of my body, asking conditioning, boxing, and stuff like that. So I look forward to doing those things later on in the season when it's all said and done. But continue the chop. You never know how fast, you know, your life is going, the journey is up and down. You're always going to have up and downs. But at the end of the day, just stick to the script and believe in God. If you don't believe in God, believe in yourself. If you got heart, that's all it takes. You got to have heart. And for me, just keep on working and putting God first. Thank you. Now that I've been away from Rutgers, what helped me the most is the culture that we build there at Rutgers. Continuously grabbing those spicks of words that Coach explained to us that needed to soak in. And those words, family, trust, chop, those three words will always be in my blood. I will always bleed it, and I will always praise it. Family, trust, chop. continuously focusing on the task and eliminating distractions to get the job done, to visualize it and then see it and make it happen. It was a lot of hard work and practice put into it. I have yet to been home and sat down to take a break and really visualize it and look how far I came. But when it's all said and done, when we get that ring, it's going to be a blessing, and I know that God brought me here for a reason.
Let's take a listen to Andy Reid.
Rutgers, it's a special place. He is very proud of Rutgers, as you are. And listen, he's a tough guy, a tough player, and he's smart enough to where he can get in there and digest all this garbage we throw at him. And and he goes out and he plays his heart out. Been very impressed by him as a footballer.
Let's take a listen to Michael Burton.
I came across Pop years ago when I would go back and visit spring practices, and you could just see the talent. It jumped right off the tape. He's got all the attributes. Great kid, brings energy all the time. So I'm not surprised by his success that he's had this year. And he runs the ball like it's his last carry. And he runs with energy. He runs with power and speed. Like I said, he's a big guy too, so he runs with that velocity. And he's just a great young player. He's professional. He does things right on and off the field. So couldn't be happier. So I had two coaches, Coach Shiano and Coach Flood, and they both just ran the organization so professional. We had a lot of guys who went through Rutgers who played in the NFL. They would always come back, and they were very helpful too. So it's just a very professional run organization. You learn how to do things right on and off the field, how important the classroom is, how important it is to be a pro, take care of your body, do all the little things. So very thankful I had an opportunity to play at Rutgers.
Again, all that audio there, all that great audio is courtesy of the Rutgers Athletic Department, the Football Department, and Jimmy Gill. Again, we want to thank them for sharing that stuff with us. And there you go, folks. Isaiah Pacheco, Andy Reid, as well as Michael Burton. So we are ready for the big game, folks. Philadelphia, Kansas City, it's all yours. Enjoy it. Have a good time, folks. And we'll talk to you next time here on Fox Sports On The Road. I'm Michael Cohen.